Praise God. I wanted to show you, Pastor Ken gave that scripture earlier about honoring the Lord. Pick up the Amplified Bible, and just to give you some insight, a little bit more insight on it, if you go to, let's see here, Amplified Bible, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. I heard it said when you're honoring the Lord, it's going to cost you something. Anytime you honor somebody, it's going to cost you something. I noticed the classical edition here of the Amplified Bible. It says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors. And Pastor Ken talked about righteous labor. You don't go out and do something under the table. You wouldn't do that and then, you know, give righteous labor when you're working. And so with the first fruits of all your income. So that's what God's talking about there in the scriptures, that we honor him. You know, he's the one that gives you the energy and strength. He's the one that gives you health. He's the one that gives you breath. He gives you opportunity. So when you give to God, you're honoring God, that he's giving you that kind of ability to go out and do that to help his cause. Yeah. The scripture says the reason why we give is to put the gospel out. Mm-hmm. And I heard it said that it's the gospel is free, but it takes money to put it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we thank God for that opportunity to sow seed in the kingdom of God today. So if you're doing that today, there's other scriptures that are actually, if you want to look at it again, there's other scriptures, like I want to look at, and the NLT says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. Not something to last, you know. If I have extra money, I'm going to throw a buck in there. Well, that's not the kind of attitude God wants from me. He wants you to produce the best. Yeah. Amen? Give him your best. And it's good to be able to do that because God gives you his best. Yeah. And he wants to, I think it's Deuteronomy, maybe Pastor Dave can help me, where it talks about that God gives you wealth so that you could, you know, give. What is the scripture? Deuteronomy 8:18, I think, eh? 8:18. Let's look at that scripture. For some reason, I can't get. This is not responding. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 28. Chapter 8. Let's go here. Okay, 8:18. Okay. So why does God give us the ability to get wealth or to produce so that we can establish this covenant so that we can get other people? It's good that we can get other people to know about the things of God. You know, I had the pleasure of hearing the gospel through the Billy Graham ministry, and I got born again. I could sincerely say I was born again watching Billy Graham. That's the very first time that I know that I got saved. I might have prayed that prayer before. I might have heard it. Somebody might have planted seed. But at that time, I can literally say it, I got born again. I got saved. I was transformed. I felt different. I knew something was different. And just by hearing the gospel, and Billy Graham said, you can be saved right now. And that was astounding to me. For the first time in my life, I heard that I could be saved. I didn't have to be in church. I could just be saved anywhere. So he said, wherever you are, if you're in a hotel room, if you're at home, if you're in a jail cell, if you're in a hospital bed, you can come to the Lord right now. Yeah. And so this time has been afforded to you right now, giving you the opportunity to receive salvation for God to come and change your life. All you have to do is repent to change your ways. And, you know, I thought I was okay. I was not robbing banks and raping people and killing people, being violent, and I wasn't selling drugs, and I wasn't sleeping around. I was like a good boy. And I prayed every night. I helped people. I worked in the community. And I was doing good works, but I was not born again. And I went to church every Sunday. I was not saved until I heard that message that, you know, everybody needs to learn this, and that is that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. Amen. That he makes a way of salvation. Got born, I got saved at that time. So, and I was just sitting there listening to the Holy Spirit talk to me. And he said to me, this is a precious time right now. This evening is a precious time. You get to come here and sit in this room and have family time together with the other believers to hear God's word. There'll never be another time like this. And you'll always remember this time. A million years, 1,000 years from now, you'll remember you're sitting here. And you have an opportunity to come here. And I remember my precious times when I was a brand new Christian, come to church. I was so happy to get ready after work and just run to church on Wednesday night. You know, there was just a few of us there, you know, and they sang a few hymns, choruses. We used to sing choruses, and I was so happy. I was just so happy to be in church on a Wednesday night, and so happy to go home Wednesday night, and after church, just pull out my cigarettes and start smoking. I was still smoking back then, you know. And the Lord began to speak to me, deal with me. How many people know that you get born again doesn't mean you change overnight? Everything changes overnight. And things change. Your life changes because you want to be pleasing to God. And so I wanted to be pleasing to God. I wanted my life to represent Jesus, that there's something different about you. You know, and there's something different about us. We have the light of God in us. And where we go, God's with us. He's there with us. He's Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. He comes with us. Wherever we go, he goes. And I think about those days, going to church on a Wednesday night, Sunday. And I think Wednesday night was probably my favorite night for some reason, in the middle of the week. I couldn't wait till Sunday. Sunday was so special to go to church. You know, and jump in a car with somebody, and they pick me up, and I go to church. I didn't have a car, always, as a young person, and get to come to church. It was so wonderful to come and look for a chair and sit down and hear the gospel, and it's wonderful. And just go eat eggs after Sunday morning. So it was wonderful just to be in church. And so I just want to remind you that you get to have an opportunity to come to hear the gospel on a Wednesday night, be with the rest of the family. And this is it. and the gifts of the Spirit can operate. And I told my wife, I'm going to set Pastor Dave loose. He came up here and did a great job. Amen? Hello, just sick him. Just go ahead and sick him. Praise God. He went up there. He did his best. And I saw the girls back here. They're having a great time. And, you know, just having a great time. I'm just having a great time myself. and then somebody, you know, over the, you know, so we used to have these boys come in, Teen Challenge boys, you know, and every once in a while I stick him out there. He comes out and he gets so drunk, falls on the floor, and just laughs. And I was driving some boys home from the 3C Center, this is another center, and they said, "What's that guy? Did he just do that or what?" He said, I said, no, he got drunk in the spirit. He said, well, I never seen anything like it before. So they didn't know that. They thought he was putting on something. But the Lord was putting on a show. Amen. So the Lord gives a demonstration. That's the demonstration of the Spirit. Let's go ahead and read that Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. I'm reading the King James. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth. And he answers himself in that verse of scripture, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is today. That's the King James Version. Let's go ahead and read it, let's read the New Living. Remember the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Thank God that our ancestors did something, and we can hear the gospel today. Praise God. Amen? The Amplified, let's go and read the classical. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God. You know, you get the feeling that God wants you to remember something. You know? Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So when you get up in the morning, he's going to give you the power, energy, to go out and go to work. And thank God that you have breath. You could be at home, stuck in your four walls, but and you have you have sense enough to get to work. You got a brain, and God gives you that. And he gives you the power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. So we thank God that God has given us the ability to get wealth, to establish his covenant. And so that's what we're doing. We're establishing right here on this property that God is interested in every single person to be born again, to come to him. And, getting saved, you know, is more than just being forgiven. Being saved means you are the righteousness of God. You have right standing with God. You can go, like Pastor Dave said, you go to his presence any time of the day. You don't have to wait to go to church or wait for some special prayer. And that's what we're trying to tell you. You can pray, and God will hear you. And your prayer. And your prayer goes a long way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to go into our lesson here. We got about 39 seconds to finish it. And let's go to our scripture verses. Okay. This is 7 steps to answered prayer. Part 1, we talked about last week. Let's go look at 2 scriptures. Ephesians 6:18. It says here, praying always with all prayer, I'm reading the King James, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we want to draw your attention to this phrase, with all prayer. With all prayer. And so we're saying there, like the Amplified says, and other scripture says, all manner of prayer. Some version says all kinds of prayer. There's not just one kind of prayer. There's many kinds. We're going to show you that there's different kinds of praying. And I was counting them, and we looked at, if you count tongues and different ones and binding and loosing, you come up with 11, I believe. But we talk about nine of them, I believe. And so we want to show you the different ways you can pray. And so all kinds of prayers. So we want to show, according to the Bible, how to pray effectively. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. And it says here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, the words he's talking about is the scriptures, is the Bible. My words abide in you. In other words, they're not just mere words. They're life-giving words. They're living words, and they're residing in you. They're alive in you. You've meditated on them. They're real to you. So if my words are real to you, my words abide in you, you shall ask. The result is you will ask what you will. That is, of course, in the context of what this of the covenant. The will, you'll ask what your will, that is, your will is in line with his will. That means you know what the Bible says. So if you're going to ask something, you got to know what the will says. So you ask what you will, and it, that is your request, shall be done unto you. So we were in Bible school. Brother Hagin taught us himself on a number of occasions about prayer principles. And he said, successful prayer is not based on God's side, it's based on our side. That is, he emphasizes what you pray. Because it's what you know about God and His Word that we need to be, insightful on, aware of, that we should ask according to what He says. Our success is based on us studying the Word of God. God gives us the means to be informed. Praise God. Amen? So we gave you several scriptures last week. Let's go ahead and read them very quickly again. James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. I'm reading the King James. James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith. So if you're going to ask anything, you're going to have to ask in faith. And asking in faith means that maybe something you don't have yet, you're going to ask God for that which you don't have. And you believe it because you're believing it because of what the Word says. You know? And so, it says here, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The word wavering refers to doubting. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed. For let that man not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you have to be stable in the Word, and you have to be abiding in the Word strongly if you're going to get your prayers answered. You can't be up and down, maybe God heard me, maybe He didn't hear me, You have to understand that, yes, God is hearing me. How many people know that God hears you? Yeah. You know, 1 Peter 3:12 says that God's eyes are looking on us right now. His eyes are upon you. And His ears are open to your prayers. In other words, He's watching and listening for you to say something. And so it says here, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this is how we have success in life. He gives us a recipe. And this book of the law, that is the Bible. The book of the law refers to the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, go ahead and feed on it, meditate on it. But thou shalt meditate there day and night, that thou shalt may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So when we know the book of the law, when we're meditating on it, then we're going to be observant to perform it, to do it. Then we will make our way prosperous. Then we will have good success. So successful prayer is based on what we, if you want to put it in context of that, according to the scripture, is going to be based, successful prayer is going to be based on what we've meditated on in accordance to the Word of God. Not just in reference to prayer, but anything else we want from God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. Matthew 7, 7, 8, and 8. King James. Ask. What happens if you don't ask? Nothing's going to be done, right? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. If you don't ask, if you don't seek, if you don't knock, you're not going to get anywhere. Verse 8, for everyone that asks, receive, and he that seeks, finds, to him that knocketh shall be opened. Well, we want to have an open heaven, amen? So, Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, Jesus is talking about, first of all, the God kind of faith, and explaining it in verse 24, then he begins to talk about it in reference to prayer. He said, for verily I say to you, Jesus is talking, I'm saying to you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain could represent anything that is in your life that you don't want as a problem. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, in other words, you're going to talk to that mountain, whether it's sickness mountain, whether it's financial problems, whether it's family problems, that you got to speak against it. Not talk about how big it is, but talk about that it has to move. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Then say, speak to it that it might get bigger. Talk about it that, oh, look at this mountain. Let's worship this mountain. It's so big, isn't it? It's wonderful. Even God can't move it. So that's how people sometimes we think, because we think even God himself couldn't do it. But we should say, so be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart. but shall believe. That is, believe in his heart. So we talked about that to some degree last week. Believing his heart, believing in your heart, means you're not believing according to how you feel and what you think about it and what everybody's opinion about it. That means believing without using your senses. So when you believe God, you're not using your senses, your five senses, your human knowledge. That's not the God kind of faith. So you're believing according to what God says. So he says, he shall not doubt in his heart. What is your heart? Your heart is your inward man. So you're believing from the inside out. If you're believing with your inside out, you're not believing with your body. Believing with your heart is believing with your spirit. And your spirit is fed with the word. You're believing what the word says. Okay? So believe, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he said, he shall have whatsoever he said. Let's look at it again here. It says that, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said, he shall have whatever he said. Let's go to verse 24. Therefore I say to you, what things you ever desire, in other words, whatever you want now, that is, in reference to what the Bible says. So when you're standing there, whatever you read the Bible, and you want what the Bible says, it belongs to you, that is your desire. When you pray, believe. Believe what? Believe that you receive. So when you're praying, you gotta believe that you receive right at that same time. Believe and receive at the same time. Not believe and receive when you see something happen, when there's a change happen, or the circumstances change, because people, when they pray for someone in the hospital, the doctor said it's changed. Oh, yeah, it's good that the prayer's done. No, you don't tell God, you don't tell that God's answered you because somebody's thing changed, his symptoms changed. No, you believe according to the word. Because if you're believing only what the doctor said, that the medicine started working, and then you're believing with your senses. So you have to believe. What do you have to believe? Believe that you receive. Receive what? Your desire. And so you have to start acting like you have what God said you can have. He already told you in his word that what you can have. So you say, okay, Lord, I'm believing this. And then we're going to accept it. Now, would be nice if everything changed instantly. Huh? I mean, just a poof, in a moment of time, everything's changed. Everybody's nice to you. And the money came in right there. Woo, that's great. But it doesn't happen that way. There's a time lapse between the receiving and the shall have them. Notice it says shall have. It means shall is... have is future tense. But receive is now. Faith is now. I receive right now. I don't. So somebody said, you got it? Yeah, I got it. Where is it? They said, well, it's in here. I believe it. I receive it. See, this is what we have to understand when it comes to prayer. Because many people have failed in this matter right here. Because so they get everybody to pray for them, hoping that somebody might have the answer. Somebody is going to believe for me. So they ask everybody. So they throw out all the lines out there. You Facebook and get this one. Oh, we're gonna have lunch together. Oh, we're gonna ask to tell them this. Pray for me. How many people know that pray for you doesn't that's not gonna work unless you just decide yourself that you believe the word. It only takes you or somebody else with you to believe. It doesn't take 100 Facebook fans. That somebody, some professional pastor that has an inside road with God, he's got the answer for you. Or you have to go to some revival meeting where the anointing is so strong you can't even stand it. It has nothing to do with that.
It's
nice to have a good anointing. Fall on the ground, cry, shake, rattle, and roll. But that doesn't solve anything. So we need the Word to anchor us, to keep us strong. You know, we've seen this over the years. And, you know, I try to teach people, like friends of mine who don't believe like me. And finally, after many years, you know, they realize, hey, Roma's, he's got something there. After years. And some make fun that what we believe, you know, because for some reason, they don't really believe the Bible. You know, we taught the scripture says, you know, the Bible, the scriptures are called the word of faith. Because that's the only way you get faith is the Bible. So when you feed on the scriptures, you're feeding your spirit with the word of faith. That's what makes you have faith is the word. So that's why we're giving you at some point 7 steps. To answer prayer. Okay, so we spent quite a bit of time last week. We got about 4 minutes left. Tonight. Unless we play overtime. We can't go overtime, but Pastor Steve knows that the Boston Bruins are playing at 7:30. And so we got to take some of that chunk off. But we can't let baby stay up late. Because she cries all afternoon in our office, and we can't stand it. You know, for years we had baby daycare with all the kids, every one of them. Staff meeting, you smell mustard. And so we have to take care of that. So we love every one of the kids, every one of them. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so this teaching, whenever we get to it, is going to cover basic elements of prayer. You can go home and tell grandma that. If anyone will take these simple steps, they'll get their prayer answered every time. We must follow spiritual laws that are set out and guidelined by God if we want our prayers to be effective or efficient, if we want to get answers or results. Many are praying in the dark. That is, they're kind of scrambling around. They don't know what they're doing, hoping that they'll just pray these prayers and something is going to stick. You know? So, they're praying in the dark or without revelation knowledge, thinking that they'll get their prayers answered if they pray a whole lot of prayers or get a whole bunch of people praying. Yeah. They think they're going to, shut up. Him and I are buddies. I can tell him that. I guess it's going to go in the blooper section, eh? Okay. We'll talk after, you and me. Okay, I'll get you a coffee for that. I'm sorry. Okay, we're still friends. Okay, so. Okay. Okay, so we can pray with confidence when we understand prayer principles that God has set out for us in His Word. So in the following teaching, we're going to get to these 7 steps. So first of all, we said, decide what you want from God. So we use the scripture, James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. Let that man not think that he received anything of the Lord. The double-minded man is stable in his ways. So James reveals by the Spirit of God how important it is to be decisive, especially in making important decisions regarding your prayer time. The Word reveals that if someone can make up their mind before they go to prayer or before they release prayer, they prevent themselves from being unstable. They can have stability when going to prayer because they're standing on the Word. They can't expect to get anything from God because God said it first. Many are too indefinite when praying. We need to be exact when asking God for something. Don't be praying aimlessly or just praying because you're praying. Of course, you could pray not asking something, just pray to fellowship with God. And so praise and worship could be fall under that category because you're just praising to worship God. You're not asking God anything, you just want to worship Him. God tells us to do that, in fact. I think Pastor Steve covered some of that. We are dealing with praying to get answers in this teaching, so we have a goal in mind. When you order something, you know, in the store or online or something like that, you have to be exact because you want your exact product to come to you. You got to have the right size, the right color, and whatever, you know, so you got to put all the numbers in there so you know exactly what you want. And so we're dealing with praying to get answers. So the same is true regarding praying. So we have to be specific. And so here it says here, this specific word says Philippians 4:6. Notice this. Paul says, be careful for nothing, or don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, we said supplication is not just a casual prayer. Oh, I'm going to pray. I don't care. You know, I'll just pray anyway. No, this is serious praying. Supplication is real serious kind of praying. So supplicating with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So you're giving God a specific request when you're praying. So after you release your prayer, you can say, then you can continue to thank God because God hears you. Step two is you continue to read the scriptures, or at least before you pray. Step two is read the scriptures that you want as far as your need is concerned. Read the scriptures that answered your need. And we gave you the scripture, Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. So if our praying is to be successful, we must make God's word number one in life. We have to feed continuously on the word of God on a daily basis. Make it a habit to read the word of God every single day when you get up in the morning or throughout the day, when you have a break or whenever you have a time to do that. Make sure you read and know what it means to you. When we do this, it builds up our inside an inward confidence, an inward awareness about God's will, and then we'll know what to ask for when the time of crisis comes. So you're not scrambling to find a scripture. You'll have an answer for the devil when he speaks to you about something, so you do respond very quickly. So you don't take 2 days or an hour and you get under crisis and you get under an emotional whelm and then you try to find your way around because you lost your wits because the devil has so emotionally, upset you, you can't find your way around. Jesus said that if we build our lives on the Word of God, you're not going to be so disturbed that you can't find, you know, your way around, you know, in terms of your life, right? So Jesus said, while in the wilderness, the Lord himself used the word of God against Satan 3 times when he attacked him to fight him off. And then he stayed stable. So this is showing us this is what we do. Here, over in the, I guess, is Luke chapter 4. I don't have a reference underneath here. I wrote it down, but I didn't put a reference. Luke chapter 4, the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made. Notice the devil said, if. He always tries to doubt, make you doubt what the word of God says. He said, if you're the Son of God, he tells Jesus, if you're the Son of God, turn these, you know, stones into bread. We want to see a little bit of miracle here, just to make sure you're Jesus. But what if Jesus responded in the natural? And he said, well, let me tell you, devil, I am the Son of God. Remember right there in the Jordan River, we were just there. And I was in the water and the dove flew over my head. And you heard a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Devil, didn't you see that? What if he responded? Like sometimes we know we fight the devil in the natural. Jesus didn't do that. He responded by saying, he quoted scripture too. Because the devil tried to misappropriate, and he will do that against us. So he said, Jesus answering said unto him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Verse 5, the devil take him upon a high mountain. Notice this, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 5, for how did he do that? How did he show him something in a moment of time? Did they have some kind of a fast, like what did he do? How did he do that? What kind of trick did the devil use? The same trick he uses when he tells you how bad it's going to be for you and your kids and your finances and your body and your mind. He's going to show you all those things in a moment of time. That's what he does. And so you're just sitting there looking like this in church while he's talking to you. And he said, I'm going to get you after church. You're going to be alone. You know, and so he tells you these things. So he shows you these things. So verse 6 says, the devil said unto him, all this power will it give you. He's trying to get Jesus to compromise. All this will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give it. So where did he get that authority, that power? It was from Adam. God had previously given to him, in the sense that Adam was the god of this world, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, because God gave him the authority over everything. The Bible said that Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. That Satan is, you know, he's running things behind people. And he's not supposed to, but he's doing it. The Bible said that Satan is god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul calls him the prince and power of the air. You know, Jesus said, whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. He's not talking about heaven where God is. There's a heaven, there's three heavens. One above us and one where, you know, there's demonic forces try to rule and reign. In the heavenlies, one time I remember when Brother Hagin was talking, and Jesus, he said, one of the visions, he said, you know, you take care of the ones that are down here, and I'll take care of the ones up there. Because you don't live up there, you live here. Yeah. He said, I'm up there, I'll deal with them. But if you bind them here, I'll take care of them up there. Because Satan has lordship, like he has, he's the god of this world, the Bible says. People say, well, you know, God is controlling everything. Well, he's not controlling everything. The things that are going on, there's a guy that died over here 2 days ago. Me and Pastor Ken went over there. He showed me where it was. I don't know if he did it or not. No, I'm just kidding. No, but there's something happened, right? Something happened over there. But who did it? Well, Satan did it. He's not going around. God's not going around killing people. If God's the power, he's the god of this world, he's not doing that. Satan is. So, in a sense, Adam was god of this world. And so we see here, there's different references, god of this world, prince of the world. Jesus said, John 14 and 30, says that the prince and the power of this world, he called the devil the prince and power of this world. So, John 14, 30 says this, I don't have much time to talk with you because the ruler of this world approaches, he has no power over me. John 14, 30. You have to know yourself that Satan has no power over you. Say, he has no power over me. He has no authority over you. None. He can't control you. And I used to be on the other side thinking that, oh, he's going to show up anytime. I don't know when he's going to strike. But you know, God puts a canopy over us, protects us as an umbrella. And we're in the secret place of the Most High God. How do you get in there? Well, you decide that. You have to say, you know, I'm in that place. Yeah. Psalm 91 says, right?
Yeah.
We're in a secret place. You say, He is my God. You say that. And he has no authority over you. So the devil said to the Lord, and you have to know what how he responded. We need to respond the same way over there in Luke chapter 4, verses 6 to 13. We could read that some more another time. But so we have to respond with the word of God. Okay. The end. We've got to skip over some things. We've got to close because baby's starting to cry here. Okay, let's go ahead and close. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus tonight for the word of God. And we thank you that we're strong in the word. We respond. We're not ruled by Satan. We're not going to let him dominate us any longer. We have dominion over him. And we put him on the run. We resist him with the word that you've given us. And you give us authority. All power, you said, is given unto me in heaven and earth. And Jesus said, now you go therefore, and you resist him, and you take care of those situations. And so in the name of Jesus, let's go ahead and stand up. And we thank you, Lord God. We know what we want from God. We know what we're asking, Father, according to the word of God. We found scriptures that covered what we wanted. And we made a decision to ask that what you said in your word. And so we took time to meditate on those scriptures that say, it belongs to me. Whatever is written in your word, whatever is written there, belongs to me. Amen. The covenant belongs to me. You said in your word, I read in Exodus 14:14 and other scriptures, you said that you would fight all my battles for me. You said, well, if the enemy comes against you, that you would fight the battle for me. He said, the battle is not yours, but mine. And so I'm trusting you that tonight that I'm believing that. I'm believing the scripture that no matter what comes against me, that you're fighting the battle for me. And I'm standing in the word, standing in the scriptures. And I'm believing the scriptures. Though no matter what it is, sickness, disease, or fear, or whatever it is, we're standing in faith, believing the word of God. So let's say this. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe the word. I'm reading the word. I believe according to the word that what you said in your word belongs to me. And whatever I ask according to your word, I have it. So I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.